Proverbs 14, verse 30, it says, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. We looked at this last week. The word sound there is the word marpe. Marpe. That's a Hebrew word. Now, the Hebrew reads right to left. If you take away the first letter, which makes it a noun, the root of that is Rapha. Rapha. Does anybody know the word Rapha? It's one of the names of God. The Lord that heals. And it means to cure, to heal. Thoroughly make whole. Thoroughly make whole. What are we talking about? Wholeness. As far as God is concerned, you've already been made whole. Say, I'm whole. I'm complete. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. If you trace the etymology of the word Rapha, you go to the word Rapha. Rapha. And it means to slacken. Now, I imagine it's like I'm trying to hold the steering wheel in life, and God's saying, can I drive, please? You ever see those license plates on the front of cars? God is my co-pilot. And I always want to say, if God is your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat. He needs to be the pilot. So what do? We let go of the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. Anybody been there? Sometimes we do it when we're just about to pop. Just out of frustration, we're like, Jesus, take the wheel. I just can't handle this anymore. Well, that's not the time to do it. Don't grab the wheel. Are you with me? Relax. That word means relax. And I'm not talking about inactivity. Let go. I know how to sit still and relax physically, but my head seldom relaxes. The Living Bible says a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Jealousy rots it away. So to stay in a stressful, unrelaxed state is to shorten your life. And medical science has proven this. You're releasing cortisol when you're in stress. That's fight or flight. It's like an intermittent boost of octane, kind of like adrenaline. Adrenaline's that way. You don't need adrenaline all the time, right? In fact, if the adrenal gland is secreting all the time, you're going to have some problems. That stuff's going to set up in your joints. You're going to have all kinds of issues. It's going to create problems all through your body. But if you're relaxed, here, doesn't mean you're not doing anything. It means you're not carrying cares. I'm preaching to me, so maybe I'll face this way for the rest of the message, because it's really, this is about me, okay? You get what I get. This is the journey I'm on. The Amplified says, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. Now, we're really going to get into it. In John 14, I want you to go over there. John chapter 14. We touched on this last week. Now, I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. I've got this on my phone app. Pastor Randy turned me on to this, and I'm really enjoying it. It's like a new Bible, and it is a translation. It's not a paraphrase. Like, the Message Bible is a paraphrase, but the Passion, it's a translation, legitimate translation. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, don't worry or surrender to your fear. This may take a while. I'm going to try not to comment on everything. This is our responsibility. Who surrenders to the fear? We do, right? For you believed in God, now trust and believe in me also. So that's the issue, isn't it? If we're in fear, if we've surrendered to that fear, if we're worried, it means we're not trusting Jesus. Again, this is my message. I should turn around so nobody feels like I'm talking about them. Verse 2, my Father's house has many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly. because I go to prepare a place for you to rest. Even heaven is about resting. Verse 3, and when everything is ready, I will come back and take you to myself so that you will be where I am. And you already know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Master, we don't know where you are going, so how could we know the way there? Now he goes into this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So he goes right into that. But let's skip all the way down to verse 27. Then he says, I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous! Exclamation point. Whose responsibility is that? We're talking about the whole package, right? In the whole package is perfect peace, and it's fully in stock. Now, you can forfeit your peace, right? I know what part 6 is going to be about. It's going to be hold your peace. Hold on to it. How do we forfeit it? Open your mouth. Now, let's talk about something. Jesus spoke in Hebrew and Aramaic. And in the Hebrew, when he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives to you, the word peace is the word shalom. Ooh, it's about to get good. Are you ready? What does it mean? Completeness. We just said we're whole, right? Safe, welfare, health, prosperity, peace. And it, like salvation and sozo, is a package word. Anytime that we use the word shalom, we're saying all of that. The root of this word, oh, here we go. This is good. You're going to love this. Are you ready? The root is shalem. Shalem. Shalem means peace offering or payment. Payment. Why is payment attached to shalom? Completeness. Because people are going to say, yeah, but Pastor Wade, you don't know what I did. He paid it. He paid it. It's attached. It's the legality. This is paid for. You owe nothing for it. I'll say it again. You owe nothing for it. Glory to God. You couldn't pay for it. Now the world, remember we talked about it last week. A lot of us, what we're doing is we're praying our circumstances to align themselves so that we can sort of have what I call pseudo peace. If we would just get these circumstances to simmer down, and if I'd had just this amount of money, and if I could get this thing taken care of, all external things, I'll rest. That's not where peace comes from. This peace is internal. Rest isn't inactivity. It's the divine tranquility that he's given you. Regardless of what's going on, you can have perfect peace. Take Jesus for an example. In a storm that's so bad, the fishermen, the professionals, think they're going to die. And he's sleeping, laying in the water. That's peace. I want that. That's the peace he said he gave us. Perfect peace. Verse 28, remember what I've told you, that I must go away, but I promise to come back to you. Did you know he's coming back? I said he's coming back. Watch this. Here you go. There's pay dirt right here. So if you truly love me, you will be glad for me, since I'm returning to my Father who is greater than I. So when all these things happen, you will still trust and cling to me. That's the issue. Trusting and clinging to Jesus. Now, I'm going to give you something. He's telling them this literally hours before he's going to be killed. Think about this. usually when the Romans dealt with somebody, they either scourged them or they crucified them. Not both. Jesus took both. The scourging was to pay for the physical ailments that we have. The crucifixion was to pay for the sin. Same sacrifice. If 25 people came up here to get born again and they all prayed the prayer of faith, how many of them got born again? 25. 100% of them, right? So why do we shift gears in our minds when it comes to healing? It's the same. It's absolutely the same. Now, here's what I wanted to get into. If I'm stressed out, if I'm grieving, it's because I don't love Jesus enough. I love me more. He said, if you love me, you would be glad because of where I'm going. I'm going back to my Father. You know, we miss our loved ones when they move on. We miss them. And it's right to grieve for a season. It's wrong to continue to grieve. Because this life is a vapor. There's a young boy, he's 17, in our school, and his dad just died. I had to go over, and it was at hospice. They had the family all around, and they basically went around and unpacked unforgiveness so that there would be no regret. That's the other part. When our loved ones get away from us, that's what we have to deal with, is the regret. Regret is easy to deal with. You head it off. Do the things now so you don't say, oh, I wish I would have. That'll never have to come out of your mouth. And so they unpacked all this forgiveness, and then they talked about fun times. Remember when? And they laughed together. And then they went around one by one and said, if you want to go, go. It's okay. We'll be fine. The school superintendent and I left, and I got a text later that day. Within a half an hour, he left. And it was peaceful. And the wife is a widow. She's part of the school. She was out for maybe 2 weeks. And I wouldn't say she's gotten past this. There are days when it's like, oh my gosh. I would say the first lap through a calendar year is the most challenging. Because when it's Father's Day, when it's a birthday, when it's an anniversary, when those dates come up, Christmas, all the events that happen in a calendar year, it is right to have mourning in your heart. But don't give over to a spirit of grief. A spirit of grief will try to take you captive. Now, how do we deal with that? I need to love Jesus more. They're in the best part of their life, whoever they are. There's no sadness going on, right? And if you gave them the option to come out and hang out with you, they would say, no thanks. Why? Because they're in the place of rest, where the Father's glory permeates every spot. So, where's the stress coming from? Selfishness. Let me look this way. Selfishness. Self-centeredness. That's what it is. That's what's at the root of it. It's like, I don't trust you, Lord, enough. Which really, I don't know you enough, because if I knew you enough, I would trust you. There would be no question about the trust here if I know you well enough. And again, I'm talking to me. This is something I've had to come to terms with, that I had control issues. You know what control is? It's pride. You know what pride is? Self-centeredness. I'm the center of my universe. My mother, I guess I was about 11, something like that, and I walked to the Circle store. It was a little convenience store there in Boca Raton. And so I needed a ride, and I'm literally just about maybe 4 blocks away or something like that. So I call my mom, pay phones. Remember that? A dime. Remember that? A long time ago. So had a dime, praise God. And so I called my mother, and I don't know why I did this, but I started down this road okay, she's hanging up the phone, she's putting the dog out on the patio, she's closing it, she's grabbing her keys, and I went through this whole thing. And it was very, very involved. Every little turn, every stop, every turn signal, all of it. I just was going through this whole thing. So I'm completely invested. It was probably 10 minutes of doing this, maybe a little longer, 15 maybe. And I looked at the corner of the post office, and this was Palmetto Park Road in Boca Raton. DJ knows where that's at. There's the post office right there. And I said, and she'll be coming around that corner right now. And when I said now, God is my witness, the front end of that Catalina broke the plane of that building. And I'm like, oh my God, mom, mom, mom. I was so freaked out. But what that spoke to was how much I knew my mother. My mom is that dependable, that faithful. And God is more faithful than any person. Now go over to Luke 12. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 15, and again, I'm going from the Passion Translation. Speaking to the people, Jesus continued, "Be alert and guard your heart from greed and always wishing for what you don't have." Now, we think material things, and he's going to start talking about material things, but what about people? What about relationships? What about money in your bank? There's a lot of things that you could put on here. Wishing for things you don't have. The widow, the husband just passed away. We had a conversation, the same conversation I had with Pastor April. And I said, you don't get over it. Anybody that says that, they're wrong. You just have to learn how to live this life without that person. And I heard T.L. Osborne say this years ago. He said the hardest thing he ever had to do was learn how to live in this realm without Daisy, without his wife. And they were married, I don't know, a long time. And he did it. And so it's not easy. You learn to live life without that person so we don't get caught. It's what the Lord would want. It's what that person would want. For your life can never be measured by the amount of things you possess. Jesus then gave them this illustration. A wealthy landowner had a farm that produced bumper crops. In fact, it filled his barns to overflowing. He thought, "What should I do now that every barn is full and I have nowhere else to store more? I know what I'll do. I'll tear down the barns and build one massive barn that will hold all my grain and goods. Then I can sit back, surrounded with comfort and ease." See that? External peace. Circumstances outside, right? I'll enjoy life with no worries at all. See, if this were to just happen, I could coast. Anybody? Well, don't raise your hand. Verse 20, God said to him, "What a fool you are to trust in your riches and not in me." Riches aren't the issue. It's not a problem having stuff. It's a problem when we trust in them. This very night, the messengers of death are demanding to take your life. Then who will get all the wealth you have stored up for yourself? This is what will happen to all, say all those who fill up their lives with everything but God. This is so big right here. And everything. All the stuff that he's going to list, you know, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, all that stuff is not an issue. Those are needs. They're genuine needs. But you cannot trust in them more than you trust in God. That's idolatry. Verse 22, Jesus taught his disciples saying, "Listen to me." Watch this. "Never let anxiety enter your hearts." Whose responsibility is that? Responsibility. We have the ability to respond, and it's on us, right? "Never worry about any of your needs, such as food or clothing, for your life is infinitely more than just food or the clothing you wear. Take the carefree birds as your example." Now, Jesus is going to say, look at these birds. Do you ever see them worry? They don't grow their own food or put it into a storehouse for later, yet God takes care of every one of them, feeding each of them from his love and goodness. There's your food. His love and his goodness. Isn't your life more precious to God than a bird? Now here's my new phrase. Be carefree in the care of God. Be carefree in the care of God. That's how you can be carefree, is I'm in God's care. Verse 25, does worry add anything to your life? What's the obvious answer? You know that's a rhetorical question. Jesus knows the answer. He's not looking for information, right? He knows the answer to that. Can it add one more year or even one day? So if worrying adds nothing, but actually subtracts from your life, why would you worry about God's care of you? It goes back to knowing him. I can't trust somebody I don't know. You got to know him, right? Skip down to verse 29. We're skipping over the illustration of the grass. I repeat it. Don't let worry enter your life. Whose responsibility? That's ours. Live above the anxious cares about your personal needs. Live above them. People everywhere seem to worry about making a living, but your Heavenly Father knows your every need and will take care of you. Each and every day He will supply your needs as you seek His kingdom passionately above all else. Now we know this from Matthew. Seek first the kingdom of God. What are we seeking? Him. Really, it's Him. We're not just looking for formulas. What are kingdom formulas? It's about Him. We seek Him, right? In closing, we'll look at verse 32. So don't ever be afraid, dearest friends. Man, is Jesus into repeating himself? I lost count how many times he said this. He's not just trying to fluff the Bible up and make it a little thicker. Your Father, your loving Father, joyously gives you his kingdom realm with all its promises. It's God's pleasure to give you the kingdom and all of its promises. We have to know him. This becomes easy when we know him. I'm the kind of guy that if I have more margin, it's like I have more peace. If your bank account is really close, super close, and you're thinking, can I get gas? Well, how much gas? Maybe $2. If you're at that place, you're not at ease. Or if I'm trying to meet somebody and I need to be somewhere, the more margin I have, the more peace it seems I have. But you know what? That's not the peace we're talking about. Okay? God wants us to be at peace regardless of the circumstances. Did you get anything out of that? Did that help you at all?